Time now for Hidden History. America the Beautiful has endured for over 100 years as one of our country's best-loved patriotic songs. It began as a poem written by Catherine Lee Bates, who was born in Falmouth and spent much of her life as a teacher at Wellesley College. Her poem was first published in 1895 in a weekly newspaper called The Congregationalist. 9 years later, it was paired with a tune by Samuel A. Ward and quickly gained wide acclaim with the public. Retired English teacher Len Mealy has written a book about Catherine Lee Bates, and I sat down with him to talk about the roundabout process by which music and lyrics were often put together in the early part of the 20th century.
I wonder if you could just tell me a little bit about how the initial verse that later became America the Beautiful came to be.
Well, in 1893, she took the trip to Colorado to teach at Colorado College. And on her way to Colorado, she stopped off in Chicago to go to the Chicago's World Fair, the White City Fair.
Yep.
And I think that's important to know because if you look at her song very carefully, all the buildings at the White Fair were white and made of alabaster, and she used the term alabaster in the song,
sure.
America the Beautiful. While she was in Colorado on one of her day trips, she took a trip up to Pikes Peak. And as most people would be, she was totally inspired by the view she saw. And many people think that's the genesis of the song. It's part of it. But if you look at the song very carefully, the song is about the beauty of the country, but also about the political and social situation of the time in the country.
We all know the melody that eventually came to be associated with it, but there were earlier versions of melodies that came to be matched with the lyrics, right? Before the...
It was very popular at the time for churches to take hymns and apply it to new works. If someone had written a poem, they would put the poem to that song, and that, of course, happened to her song. It's interesting that Materna, that's the music that's used for America the Beautiful, was written in 1882. She wrote America the Beautiful in 1893, and the two had never been put together until 1910. That was the first time it ever appeared together in writing in a book.
Do you know how that happened? Who the person was who combined the two, had the idea to put them together?
Samuel Ward, who wrote Materna, he was an organist in Newark, New Jersey. He owned a piano store and he owned an organ store. He died in 1903, and the song got combined with the lyrics around 1904. People started using it in churches. There was one minister in particular, I believe, Clarence Barber. He was using it in his church, and he was the first person in 1910 to publish it with the song and the music together.
Well, and this was after Samuel Ward had died.
After Samuel Ward died, he never knew that the song and the lyrics were put together.
Boy.
Wasn't aware of it at all.
Did she ever see any financial reward from this or not?
It's been said the only money she ever got was the original $5 when it appeared in the Congregationalist. She never got royalties ever.
Now, there was a contest of some sort in 1926 to try to find a new piece of music to go, and it sort of fell flat. Had the music not become really entrenched yet to the point where someone thought that it should have another piece of music to it, or what?
I think it was, in 1926, there was this contest by the National Federation of Music Clubs, and they had a three-month contest, and there were about 930 submissions, different pieces of music, and after
wow.
3 months, no one won the $500 prize. They kept Materna.
So many wonderful versions. I wonder what you'd think of the Ray Charles version today. It's my personal favorite, I think.
Oh, beautiful, spacious skies.
She would never tell anybody which one she liked. She was just happy that they were using her lyrics. She was very pleased by that. And I love that version. I think she'd like it too.
Far purple mountain majesties.
I've been speaking to Len Mealy for WCAI's Hidden History.